All right. Now, I announced last week that I was going to be starting a new series today, and I had every intention to do that, and then just, you know, not last minute for sure, but a few days in, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna change this a little. As much as I can promise, I'm going to start a new series next Sunday, but today I wanted to give you a kind of a one-off message that I believe is both timely and timeless, both. So I want to talk to you this morning about life's unexpected storms. Life's unexpected storms. Those are those times, friends, in life that we all face, or at some point will face for sure, where something comes out of nowhere and rocks our world. Life's unexpected storms. As much as I'm up here every week and feel like I want to have a heart connection with everybody, and I don't say it every week, but I want to say it this week. I want to tell you today. I want you to hear my heart today, and I want us to connect. I don't want you to just hear with your ears or with your brain. I want you to settle some issues in your heart today. I guess I could even go as far as say I would be concerned that we might leave today without settling this issue in our heart. It's that important for you to understand as you grow and mature in Jesus. Like, I want you to settle some issues today, and I hope I'm going to help you get to that place. I've seen over the years people in the church have gone through tragedies, have gone through unexpected storms. And then there's people who watch people go through unexpected storms. They watch how they handle it. They understand that storms are kind of inevitable. There we go. That storms are inevitable and that they happen in everybody's life. But then something curious happens. The very people who have watched others go through storms and know they're inevitable, when they have their own storm, they have a spiritual come apart. And I've never been able to fully wrap my head around it except to say, we seem to somehow think that storms actually only happen to other people. As much as we watch other people have storms and know that storms are inevitable, we don't really seem to understand that storms are inevitable for all of us. For all of us. Storms are going to happen. And as we'll see, storms happen whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Just because you're going through a storm doesn't mean that you're being disobedient or doing something wrong. Storms happen. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We live in a broken world where unexpected storms happen, and they're not withheld. George, they're not withheld because we live right. Storms happen. Now, as much as I want everybody to understand this, I don't want anybody leaving being paranoid or fearful either. But can I just tell you something? There's storms with your name on it. I'm just, like, sorry. But I'm not doing my job, I'm not fulfilling my calling if I am peddling some kind of cheap, shallow Jesus where he's our divine butler and he's just gonna make everything wonderful all the time. Right. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. So storms happen, and they happen to all of us. And we would do well to settle that issue way before the storm actually comes. So that when the storm comes, we're not freaked out by it. We've already settled in our heart, hey, I know that storms happen and they come without warning and they arise out of nowhere. We settled that issue. Now, even in settling that issue and in some degree preparing for our own storms, I want to tell you this as well. There are some storms that are so random, severe, and fierce, you can prepare all you want, and it's not going to be enough for that storm. There is going to be something in that storm where the grace of God is going to have to hold you up as you make your way through. So I'm not just telling you storms come, and I'm not just telling you prepare for it and you'll be okay. I'm telling you storms come, prepare for it, and understand this. There's even times where a storm comes that's so radical that you're going to have to be held up by God himself. Nobody's exempt from unexpected storms. Think about this, and this was partly why I wanted to share this. Just since we gathered last Sunday and heard Pastor Jonathan do a great job, just since we gathered last Sunday, there was another mass shooting in Southern California. 12 people dead. Just since we gathered last week, another wildfire in Southern California that has consumed more homes and structures than any other wildfire in California history. Just since we gathered last Sunday, there was a tornado that went through Nashville itself and caused a woman to lose her life. Unexpected storms. Nobody would have sat back and said, yeah, you know what, probably this country bar tonight, some guy's going to come in and shoot us all up. It doesn't happen in Thousand Oaks, but it happens in Thousand Oaks. Unexpected storms happen. They've affected thousands of lives, just these storms that we've mentioned. It doesn't matter, beloved, whether it's fires or shootings or tornadoes or earthquakes or car wrecks or cancer, whether it's affairs or divorces. The list goes on and on. Storms happen, and no one's exempt. So I want to unpack a story for us this morning that is filled with significant spiritual truth. Allison, you could write an entire book on this. This is so filled with spiritual nuggets. This could be a series rather than just a sermon. There's so much for us to learn. So, life's unexpected stories. Open your Bible this morning to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's the last section of the chapter. Let me read it for you. Mark 4, 35 and following. On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." He's speaking about crossing over to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. "Let's cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray one more time. Father, I'm asking you now that the Holy Spirit would come and give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding. Lord, help us see things that are too marvelous for our natural minds to comprehend. God, speak deep into our spirits, so much so, Lord, that when we leave here, we'll be able to say, "Today, I heard from God." Holy Spirit, come be our teacher and our guide now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's something about this story that doesn't go listed for us in the story, but it really helps in understanding the story that goes on. There they are on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the scripture says that Jesus said to them, hey, let's go over to the other side. And so they obeyed him, and there it went. But while they were doing that, it says that a windstorm arose. Now, what's this about? And why would the title be Unexpected Storms? Because this is exactly what happens on the Sea of Galilee on a regular basis. This was nothing unusual, but it was unexpected. It wasn't unexpected. These things happen there. Now, what happens? The cold air comes down from Mount Hermon, down across the Golan Heights, goes down to the Sea of Galilee that's about 600 or 700 feet below sea level. The warm weather from the Sea of Galilee rise up to meet the cold air, and this is where problems happen. This is where the wind starts to rage and the waves start to billow, and huge waves will rise up on the Sea of Galilee. Fishermen are very familiar with this. My point is simply this. When Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side, it was blue skies. There was nothing that told them or warned them that something horrific was on the horizon. It was just another afternoon. It was just another evening to get from here to over there. But something happened. An unexpected storm arose and changed everything. Now, I'm going to give you several points to consider as we go through this. For all you wonderful note takers, get ready. Number one, as we've said, there's no guarantee against unexpected storms. There's no guarantee against storms, even while we're obeying. And even while Jesus is in the boat. Now, this isn't a trick question, but whose idea was it that said, hey, let's go to the other side? Jesus. Whose idea was it to obey and get in the boat to get to the other side? The disciples. They're doing the absolute right thing and obeying. So doesn't that mean there shouldn't be any problems at all? Doesn't that mean there should never be a storm? If I just do the right thing, doesn't that guarantee me a life free from storms? No! No, no, not even close. It doesn't work that way. In fact, we could go all through the scriptures. Let me just summarize it by saying, just consider the original 12, you know, get Judas out of the mix, but the rest of the 11, if you will. The rest of the 11 faced persecution their entire life, storm after storm after storm. All of them were brutally martyred, with the exception of John. And then if you want to include Paul in that, Paul goes through his life so filled with unbelievable storms, it makes such an impression on his life that he records for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. You can read it on your own, but let me just give you some of what Paul says are the storms of his life. He said, I've been beaten beyond measure. I've been in prison. I've been near death multiple times. 5 times I received 39 lashes. Friends, Paul's back, we never think about this. Paul's back looked like a road map covered with scars. 5 different times, 39 lashes. 3 times beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day he's been bobbing in the deep. He's been in perils in waters by robbers, by his own countrymen, by the Gentiles, whether he was in the city or in the wilderness, in the sea. He's been terrorized by false brethren. It seems like wherever Paul goes, a storm follows. No wonder then he says, near the end of his life, he says it like this. He says, y'all, I don't know what is gonna happen to me, except the Holy Spirit has testified to me that chains and imprisonment await me in every single city I go to. Ready for the ministry, anybody? There's no guarantee against unexpected storms. Even if you're doing the very thing that Jesus asks you to do. I would say, friends, that we have storms because we live in a broken world. And I want to say to some of you very clearly who are passionate about serving Jesus and making him famous, that there are storms that you are going to face, not just because you live in a broken world. There are storms that you are going to face because the devil hates you and the influence you have for Christ in other people's lives. And the storms are going to take all kinds of different looks and facets about them. But storms come in particular to people who are making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just beware, be ready for that. Friends, I would say the bottom line, our only hope of riding the storm out and getting to the other side is by having Jesus in the boat with you. You can't jump ship and you can't throw him overboard. Your only chance of getting through your storm and getting to the other side is by having Jesus in your ship. Let me say something else about this. There's something worse than a storm, an unexpected storm coming your way. It's you going through a storm without Jesus. Storms are bad. Storms without Jesus, worse. Next, will you take him, Jesus, as he is? Now, I know in context that when it says that they took Jesus as he is, as he was, it just means simply that they didn't bring any baggage with them. It was just Jesus. Robe and sandals, Jesus. That's all they took him as he was. I know what the original meaning is. But I see something way bigger than that in this story. They took him as he was. They took the real Jesus. And the question to us is, will we take him as he really is? Are you taking Jesus on your journey to the other side as he is? Or are you taking Jesus how you think he should be? Which Jesus are you taking? As he is, or the one you've created in your own mind? Remember, the scripture says that we're created in God's image, but far too often we start creating God in our own image. Have you taken Jesus as he is into your journey to get to the other side? Are you taking him as the one who allows storms? Or are you taking the one who doesn't allow storms, who always does what you think is right and affords you smooth sailing all of your life? If you're taking the second Jesus with you, I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but you are taking a fake American drive-through McJesus and not the Jesus of the Bible. That's who you're taking. These are tough things that we have to grapple with, and they don't make us comfortable, and it doesn't make the top 10 sermon list of things that we love to hear over and over again. But it's true. It just happens to be true. Will you take him as he is? Taking Jesus for who he is means you're embracing smooth sailing and stormy seas both. It means you're embracing the fellowship of his suffering as well as the power of his resurrection. It means you're embracing blessing and brokenness, all of it, all of him, all the time. Take Jesus as he is. Number three. It can appear that Jesus doesn't care about us in our storms. Anybody know what that feels like? Be honest. It can appear that Jesus doesn't care about us in our storms. You say, well, Steve, what are you talking about? Well, the disciples knew exactly. They said to him, don't you even care that we are perishing? It can appear in the midst of our storm that he doesn't even care about our storm or our circumstance or what's going on. Again, unsettling but true. When it seems that God is sleeping in your situation, listen to me, it is only because he is supremely confident that he can handle all of your situation at any time he wants, and he isn't worried about your waves getting bigger. Unsettling but true. We use analogy to talk about spiritual truths to help us understand in the natural. We know that God's not sleeping, but it seems like he is sometimes. And we get a natural picture to communicate spiritual reality. We know that God doesn't sleep. He who protects Israel doesn't slumber or sleep. I get it. But it's times where it seems like he doesn't care, where it seems like he's sleeping. I read this story afresh over the last week, and I thought about this. If I had two options for this story, which one would bother me more? That he was sleeping during the storm, or that he was in the back of the boat, wringing his hands, terrified, saying, oh my, me. Right, because he doesn't say, oh my God, he says, oh my me. That's the second half that just got that. Good job, everybody. You see, in some unique way, I feel better about Jesus sleeping than I do being terrified. Am I right? Because if Jesus is terrified in the midst of my storm, what am I gonna be? At least if he's sleeping and chilling, I'm going, well, he thinks it's gonna be all right. But it might seem like he doesn't care. Friends, God's apparent sleeping, it's not a lack of care. It is a demonstration of his utter confidence in himself to handle our storms. And so when it seems like he's being quiet, like he's being still, like he's sleeping, I would much rather have that than feel like God is nervous about my future. These are deeper thoughts, bigger thoughts. Don't panic when he's being quiet. Just hold on and do the last thing he told you to do. This next one is an observation that warms my heart because I think it bespeaks the mercy and the tenderness and the kindness of God in a very unique way. Number four. The storm doesn't awaken Jesus, our cries do. Isn't that sweet? How in the world he can be sleeping with a great windstorm? How in the world he can be sleeping when water is pouring in the boat? How in the world he can sleep through that and yet not sleep through, hey, don't you care? It's not the storm that awakens Jesus. It's our cries. It's the cries of the disciple. And here's where this gets even more patient and tender and kind. Their cry wasn't a cry for help. This wasn't Peter who was walking on the water and then started to sink and say, Lord, save me. This isn't that story. Their cry isn't a cry for help at all. Their cry is a protest of his apparent indifference about their perishing condition. This is holy complaining, salted with fear.
Now, listen, listen. Without question, what Jesus would prefer to hear from us is a great declaration of faith. Lord, I know, man, the wind's blowing, the waves are crashing in here. We're going to sink any second, but glory to God, I trust you. That would be wonderful. Let me know when you get there. I love the fact that Jesus responds to a cry of protest as much as he does a declaration of faith.
Amen.
Whew. That allows me in my own crisis of faith and my own struggle to go, you know what? I might be strong, but I'm not that strong. And when I'm not that strong, he is. He is. And my protest of his indifference awakens him to speak to my situation, to rebuke the wind and the waves and not rebuke me. Does anybody love Jesus today?
Yeah.
Number five, good news. Storms don't last forever. Something's got to happen, friend, if you're in a storm right now, to realize that storms don't last forever. There's going to become a time, and I don't know when, but there's going to be a time when Jesus will arise and rebuke your storm. There's going to be a time when Jesus will say, peace be still. There's going to be a time where Jesus will produce the calm that you are longing for. I don't know when it is, and even if it seems like he's sleeping, don't panic too much because he's got it all under control. Storms don't last forever. Either in this life, maybe it might be the life to come when we all pass through the veil. But it's good to know that storms will stop. It's good to know that our peace will be full, that calm will be restored. It's good to know that I'm not going to be defined by my storm, but by my Savior. You see, friends, this is where heaven has to become real to us. Where again, whether our storm stops on this side of the veil or the other, I know that I know that I know a day is coming when storms and battles are going to come to a screeching halt. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. For your life, I want it to stop right now. For my life, I want the storms to stop right now. Do you know, sometimes, friends, Jesus is more interested in us growing up and being conformed into his image than he is pulling us out of the fire. This is God's desire for all of us, is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Sometimes it happens through the suffering of a storm. And the storm can come out of nowhere really quick. But it won't last forever. It won't last forever. Settle that as well. Storms happen, but they won't last forever. Number six. Well, I thought you could only do a three-point sermon. Number six, let me tell you something that happens only in storms. A revelation of his power and his goodness is going to increase in your life. Let me say it like this. There is some revelation of the goodness and the power of God that only comes on the other side of suffering, that only comes on the other side of storms. There are some things you'll never know about God until you get through and get to the other side. But you gotta get there. And there's a storm in between you and it. Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. And they say, "Who is this? Who is it?" Could you imagine the other night? Could you imagine be sitting on your porch with some fellow who, you know, you kind of notice there's something a little different about him. He just seems like he's kind of in charge. And your alarm starts going off and you hear that a tornado is coming down your street. And before you know it, your friend stands up on your porch and says, "Hey, knock it off." And everything stops. You know what you got? You got a deeper revelation of your strange friend that seems to have it all together all the time. You didn't get the revelation until the storm came. And as he spoke to it, then all of a sudden you go, "Who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Even the wind and the waves. What's your even? What's your even? Who is this Jesus that even in the midst of unbelievable heartbreak and heartache, that even in the midst of this, I'm standing. I'm believing. I have peace. I have hope. Who is this that even with the cancer report or the car accident or this crummy bank account, who is this that even affairs and divorce, who is this that even the loss of life, the betrayal of friends, who is this that even those things obey him when he says, "Peace be still, enough is enough"? Yeah. Who is he? His name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. And he's worth holding on to until he speaks. And when he speaks, I'm gonna get a revelation of his goodness and power that I never would have known apart from the storm happening. You know, the fellow by the name of Job had a storm. Lost his health, he lost his wealth, his 7 children, all of his cattle and his herds, he lost everything. Sicker than the dog. He starts off faithfully, trusting God. Lord gives, Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Job, good guy. Yeah, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Yeah, awesome, good. And then after a while, he's like, "I've had enough of this. Who are you? Why are you doing this to me?" God straightens him out, gets him on the right path, restores his life. And then Job says these words. Check this out. Job 42, 6, 5 and 6. Job says, "God, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. God, I knew something about you before. When I was healthy, wealthy, and wise, and everything was wonderful. Yeah, I heard about you. I heard you were good. I heard you were powerful. I knew you to some degree. But when I lost it all and the storm came and ravaged my life, and now you've come in and begin to restore me, now I just haven't heard about you. Now I see you. I've got revelation. I see who you are, what you allow, how you fix, how you flex your muscles and come through." Right. Yeah. This is how this happens. I wish in our lives, my life, your life, I wish it didn't take storms to give us a greater revelation of his goodness and power, but it does. Even the wind and the waves obey him. We knew that sickness and disease did. We knew that devils and demons did. We knew that lack and insufficiency did. But the wind and the waves even obey him. Yes. Job says, God, now that I really see you, I am sorry. I repent. In dust and ashes, I take back every stupid thing that I said when I just thought you were no more than a genie God in a bottle sent to make my life wonderful. God, I'm sorry that I didn't see you deeper than that. All right, number seven, we're done. This isn't as much about you as these other things have been, although it involves you. Remember when it said that they took Jesus as he was, and then it said, and other little boats followed? The other little boats benefit when your storm stops. Because the storm, Melissa, the storm didn't just stop right directly over them. The storm stopped on the sea. And the other little boats that were there, they went, whew, awesome, us too. Let me tell it to you like this. There's people watching. And they're watching to see how you ride your storm out. Now, I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but I'm just telling you the truth. We've been talking truthfully all day today. There's people watching you in the midst of your storm because they need to know, is there hope for them and theirs? They need to know, can a storm be endured? They want to see how you deal with your cancer. They want to see how you deal with your divorce. They want to see how you forgive your spouse for the affair that happened. They want to see what it was like when your business went broke. They're watching to see because they need to know, based on your example, is there hope for them in their storm? There's other little boats. If you can ride your storm out, it clears their storm up. Your storm's not just about you. I know it feels like it is. It's bigger than that. There's people watching who you might not even realize are watching. And they need to see what's up. Somehow, that makes my storm worth something. It puts a value to it, a kingdom value that is beyond, I'm just being attacked. Maybe it's, I'm going to allow the storm because I know I'm in the boat with you and you're not going to kick me out and we're going to get through this together and those other little boats are going to be real happy. Maybe that's why you're having a storm, because there's people that need to know they could make it through theirs. There's a lot riding on this. It's a lot bigger than just your bad day or days. I've always wanted my kids and my grandkids. I would love them to be able to watch my life and go, tough things can be handled by keeping Jesus in my boat. The greatest questions, friend, today, it's not why storms happen or will they happen to me. The greatest question for you to settle today is, will you take him as he is? Will you sign up for the whole package? Will you keep him in your boat long enough to get to the other side? Because there's another side worth getting to. And will you keep him in the boat long enough so other people can get some relief from their storm? Those are the really pressing issues for us today. Now let me ask you a personal question without any details. I just want to know, is there anybody in the room, anybody online, anybody down in the chapel? Anybody going through a storm today? Anybody here in the room? If you raised your hand, would you stand on your feet? I'm not going to ask you anything at all. You're going through a storm. Doesn't matter if your storm's bigger or smaller than anybody else's, it's a storm for you. Anybody got a storm? I never would have guessed, because as I'm watching you all, your hair's in place, your clothes aren't wet. You look like beautiful people, beautiful Middle Tennessee people. I never would have looked at you and suspected that you were in a storm. But storms are real, and they happen to all of us. So maybe, just maybe, Jesus had us put a series on pause just today to say, I'm in your boat. I'm in your boat. I'm in your boat. I got you. I'm in your boat. I'm in your boat. Really is. Now let's do this. The scripture says that we should bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So there's people that are having storms by you that are standing up. And what I want someone to do, maybe a few of you, would you just go gently lay your hand on every single person who's standing up? Just look around you. If there's someone close by, just gently put your hand on their shoulder. I don't want one person standing who doesn't have a hand laid on them. You're not going to have to do anything, but just touch and agree with me. I'll do the prayer. You just touch them. You be the heart and the hands of Jesus that touches them in this beautiful, wonderful. Let's pray together. Father, we come in the name of him who still calms storms. We come in the name of Jesus, the great storm stopper. Lord, we pray for our friends right now, here online, down in the chapel. God, we pray for them. Lord, there's so much in our heart that just says, God, would you stop their storm right now? It'd be awesome, God, stop the storm now. I don't want to limit you, Lord. We know you can do that. Stop the storm now. But Lord, for their well-being, if you can't stop it now, would you give them the grace to ride the storm out? to not get rid of you or to not jump overboard themselves, but to ride the storm out with you, looking to you, trusting you, protesting you maybe, but believing you hopefully. Lord, we pray for our friends. Get them to the other side. And do it in such a way that others who are watching will benefit from it. God, help our friends. Give them grace, give them power, give them what they need to get to the other side. We ask it, Lord, in the name that is above every name. We ask it in the name of him who speaks to wind and waves and storms stop. We ask it in the name of him who is so confident in his ability that he can rest even in the hellishness of a storm. We ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, peace. Be still. In the name of Jesus, peace, be still. Beloved, do we agree with that over these precious ones right now? Amen. Peace, be still in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, I believe this to be the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we don't have to go through our storms alone. God bless you guys mightily. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. Come on out. Let's make a great showing Wednesday night before the throne. Thursday night, we would love to have dinner with you. Let's connect on a little more intimate level. God bless and keep you all. Take care.